Chapter 9. The next day, Cindy decided she had to talk to someone about Raffi. Instead of going home after school, she went directly to Mrs. Davis's apartment. Harold was not home yet when she arrived. Mrs. Davis answered the door and brought Cindy to the kitchen.
"Sit down, honey child, and help me wait for this pumpkin pie to finish baking," Mrs. Davis said.
The rich, sweet scent of the pie filled the apartment and the outside hallway with a heavenly fragrance. Cindy sat down nervously and took a deep breath.
"Cindy," Mrs. Davis said with a warm smile, "what's wrong?"
"Grandma Rose," Cindy groaned. "This guy my mom is dating, Raffi Whitaker, he's a drug dealer. I told Mom, but she won't believe me. I'm so scared."
Mrs. Davis shook her head sadly.
"Child, that Whitaker's been dealing drugs in this neighborhood for a long time. From what I hear, he's got school kids working for him. I told the police months ago. The sergeant I spoke to wrote down everything I said. He was a nice man, but nothing happened. I pray to God somebody stops Raffi Whitaker before he puts some child in an early grave."
Cindy noticed Mrs. Davis looking at her new bracelet.
"It's from Bobby," she said. "He's the only person besides you and Harold who I can talk to about all this. He's been really nice."
"Well, I'm mighty glad to hear that. I know his mama. Tina Wallace is a good woman who has had a lot of grief in her life. She's been through fire and ice with that husband of hers. Now she's tending him like a saint because he's laid up with lung trouble. Bobby has been nothing but a pain to her, and I hope to heaven he's turned himself around," Mrs. Davis said.
Just then, Harold came home and walked into the kitchen.
"Hi, Cindy," he said, glancing quickly at his grandmother and Cindy. "I can leave if it's a bad time," he added, turning to walk out.
"It's okay," Cindy assured him. "We're just talking, that's all."
Harold hesitated briefly and asked,
"Wanna go down to the library with me?"
"Sure," Cindy said, eager for any reason not to go home.
"You know that project in Mitchell's class where we gotta pick somebody who overcame great odds to become a success?"
Harold asked as they headed for the library.
"You pick anybody yet?"
"Yeah, I picked Ray Charles. He was blind when he was a little boy, and he was poor and lost his mother, too," Cindy said. "And look what a big music career he has."
"Maybe you can help me find somebody, Cindy. I need a better grade this marking period. Grandma keeps getting on my case," Harold said.
"Well, you're talking to the wrong person," Cindy said with a laugh. "I'm not a perfect student either, but I'll try to help out."
As they approached the library, Cindy noticed Pedro Ortiz standing in a parking lot behind a grocery store.
"Look, there's Pedro. I can't stand him, Harold. I bet he's waiting to buy drugs from Raffi," Cindy said.
"Let's cross over to the other side of the street," Harold said cautiously. "We don't want to get mixed up in anything he's involved in."
"That's right,"
Pedro called out to them as they crossed the street.
"Just keep walking."
"Maybe if I brought Mom down here," Cindy said, "she would believe what I've been saying about Raffi."
"Wouldn't do no good," Harold said. "She loves him, right?"
"I guess," Cindy sighed.
"Grandma says if love settles on a garbage can, you can't make the fool in love smell the stink."
In the library, Cindy and Harold searched through the aisles, stopping at the section with biographies. Cindy found a book about Franklin Roosevelt. The book focused on how he overcame his disability.
"Look, this man was crippled, and he still became president," Cindy said.
"No way," Harold said. "No president of the United States was ever crippled."
"Sure he was. It's all here in the book. He had polio, and after that he could never stand up or walk unless somebody helped him."
They checked out the book on Roosevelt and headed home.
"Look, Cindy," Harold said nervously. "I've been wanting to ask you something for a while, but..."
He hesitated and took a deep breath.
"Want to go to the movies with me on Saturday?"
Cindy smiled,
flattered that Harold wanted to take her out. She had never considered him as someone she would go out with. He was her neighbor and a friend, but until now, she had thought of him as nothing more. And of course, there was Bobby. She would never go out with Harold while things were so good with Bobby. She struggled to find an answer that wouldn't hurt his feelings. "I go with you in a minute, Harold. You're really nice. But me and Bobby are together," Cindy said.
"I understand," Harold said quietly, his eyes focused on the ground. "Just be careful," he added.
"Look, I know you don't like Bobby, but he's been good to me. Can't you just be my friend and be happy for me?" Cindy said, tired of having to defend her boyfriend.
"What about that bruise on your wrist?" Harold replied.
"I told you before, that was just an accident," Cindy insisted, pushing her new bracelet over the bruise.
"You're a lot like your mom, Cindy. You only see what you want to see," Harold said.
Cindy glared at Harold. She resented his comment, but she did not want to get into a fight with him. Instead, she kept quiet, and the two walked back home in awkward silence, careful to avoid the parking lot where they had seen Pedro. Cindy's mother was in the kitchen making a casserole when Cindy came home from the library.
"So, where have you been? You're never home anymore," her mother said.
"I was in the library helping someone with a project," Cindy answered, wondering if her mother realized how silly such an accusation sounded coming from her.
"I'm always home, Mom. You're the one who's never here," Cindy thought.
The casserole smelled good. Her mother was a good cook when she tried, which was not often. For a terrible moment, Cindy wondered if Raffi was in the apartment somewhere, ready to pop out, jingling his flashy gold chains.
"You're home alone tonight, Mom?" Cindy asked.
"Yeah," she said. Raffi had a change in plans. He was sent to Los Angeles to cover a sales convention because someone else got sick. He's making an important presentation at this meeting in a big hotel. I don't know how he does it. How he faces all those people and gives them a sales pitch with slides and spreadsheets and everything.
You should go with him sometime and see how he does it, Cindy mocked.
Unless maybe he wouldn't like that.
Skip the comments, Cindy, her mother snapped. I know you hate Raffi, but that's your problem. You're just going to have to accept that he's my man, and soon he's going to be my husband.
As she spoke, she raised her left hand. A sparkling gold ring with a large diamond glistened on her finger.
Next year, you're going to have yourself a stepfather.
What? Cindy gasped.
Raffi proposed last night and said we would get married sometime next year, her mother said with a big smile.
Cindy stared at the ring in disbelief. Her knees felt as if they were about to buckle, and twisted thoughts tumbled through her mind. For an instant, she imagined introducing Raffi to her teachers.
This is my stepfather, the drug dealer.
Why are you gonna do that, Mom? Cindy asked, her voice desperate and broken.
Oh, for once, be happy for me, Cindy, her mother chided. I'm getting old. You don't know what it's like to be my age and not settle down yet. I don't want to be old and alone.
Mom, Cindy moaned in frustration.
You're not alone. You have me.
But as she spoke, Cindy knew her words would not be enough to change her mother's mind. Mom turned and faced her daughter. Cindy could see her mother was touched by what she had said.
Cindy, this isn't only about me. It's also for you. You deserve a man around the house, and who knows? Maybe with Raffi's money we can send you to college.
You'd be the first in our family to go, she said.
I don't want Raffi's money or his help, Cindy insisted. He's a drug dealer, Mom. I'm sure of it.
Don't start that talk around me, girl, especially not now. You're not going to ruin this for me, Cindy. I won't let you, she growled and stormed out of the kitchen.
Angered and saddened, Cindy went to her bedroom. As the dismal evening wore on,
Cindy drew a series of sketches showing Bluford surrounded by monsters who preyed on kids. The creatures were on the streets, hanging on corners, and their faces vaguely resembled Raffi and Pedro. One victim, a girl caught in the clutches of a twisted figure, had Cindy's face. When Cindy arrived at school Thursday morning, Bobby was waiting for her.
"What's up, Cinderella?"
he said, throwing his arm around her and giving her a kiss in the middle of the crowded hallway. "Hi," she said with a smile, unprepared for his sudden affection.
"We're going out tomorrow night," Bobby said. "It's Halloween, so we gotta do something together."
"Okay," Cindy replied, shrugging her shoulders. With all the distraction at home, she had forgotten about the holiday.
"You know, Jamie and Darcy invited me to a party at their house. They're gonna watch..."
"We ain't going there," Bobby interjected. "A bunch of people I know are headed to that club, the dungeon. There's gonna be a band, and everyone's gonna get dressed up. I want to go there and show you off. Here, take this," he said, handing her two $50 bills.
"Bobby, why are you giving me all this money?"
"Go to the mall and get yourself a nice costume. You know, something kind of sexy. And don't be afraid to show your body. You look great. Brothers are gonna drool when they see you."
"I can't take this. It's too much."
"Come on, Cindy. Don't worry about the money. You're my girl, and I want you to look good."
"But it's a lot of money, Bobby, and I'm not gonna be able to pay it back."
"Girl, this ain't no loan. It's a gift. Just get yourself something nice and come to the party with me. That's all the payback I need," he insisted.
Cindy blushed. No one had ever showed her such attention. Looking into Bobby's intense, dark eyes, she could not refuse his request.
"Okay," she said, putting the money in her pocket. "I'll find something nice to wear."
After school, Cindy took a bus to the mall with Jamie. She didn't tell her about the money from Bobby.
"Mom let me have some money to buy a costume for a party tomorrow night," Cindy lied.
"I hope it's not that dungeon party everyone's talking about," Jamie said.
"What do you know about it?" Cindy asked.
"I know that hoodlums hang out there," Jamie replied. "Bobby took me there once last year. The place was full of people drinking, getting high, and fighting. I want to know part of that."
Cindy shuddered. She had never actually seen the dungeon, and from Jamie's description, she didn't want to.
"Why don't you just come over to my house tomorrow night?" Jamie said, tugging on Cindy's arm.
"My sister's friends are cool. We'll have a good time."
"Jamie, I can't. I told Bobby I'd go with him. Besides, I've never done anything like this before."
"Maybe it'll be fun. I promise I won't do anything stupid," Cindy said. "I promise."
Jamie rolled her eyes, but didn't say a word.
"Come on," Cindy added. "Let's find me a costume like we came here to do."
The girls went into a shop that carried a large variety of Halloween costumes. Cindy found a genie costume and accessories to go with it.
"Oh, this is hot," she exclaimed.
"I love it, Cindy," Jamie said.
When Cindy put the costume on, Jamie let out a howl of approval.
"Damn, girl, you look good. You're gonna have to fight off guys if you wear that."
"Thanks," Cindy said.
She had never worn such a revealing outfit. The genie costume came in two parts, similar to a two-piece bathing suit, but with sheer fabric covering her legs. When she put it on, her entire stomach was exposed. Though she felt self-conscious, she couldn't help admiring how sexy she looked. While Jamie was distracted at a sales rack, Cindy quickly bought the costume. It was $80. Jamie would never have believed Cindy got that kind of money from her mother. It was dusk by the time the bus returned to the neighborhood. As it lumbered past Bluford High School, Cindy spotted Pedro outside talking to a group of kids.
"Look, there's Pedro," Cindy said. "I can't stand him."
"He scares me," Jamie said, shuddering. "Darcy says he's flunking most of his classes."
"You think he's selling?" Cindy asked.
"Somebody is. The freshmen are getting all they want," Jamie said. My sister says this is the worst she's ever seen Blueford. I heard they might bring in those drug-sniffing dogs again. I wish they didn't have to make our school into a prison just to keep it safe, Cindy said. But I don't know what else they can do. On Friday night, Cindy waited eagerly for Bobby. As soon as she spotted his red Nissan pulling up, she took one last look at herself in the snug costume and then jotted a brief note for her mother. Mom, I'm out with friends. Be back after midnight. Since Mom announced her engagement, Cindy had barely spoken to her. There's no point in talking if no one's listening, Cindy thought as she taped the note to the refrigerator and ran out the door, pushing Raffy out of her mind.
Girl, you look good,
Bobby exclaimed as Cindy slipped into his car. He was dressed like a pirate with a cape, eye patch, and black hat with skull and crossbones.
You look like you just stepped off a magazine cover, he added.
Thanks, Cindy said, delighted at his reaction. Bobby's approval was intoxicating, and for an instant, Cindy forgot all her problems at home. For once, she was attractive and loved. She hugged Bobby warmly. I'm glad you like the costume, she said.
Cinderella, I like what's in the costume even more. I already know my three wishes, but I'll ask for them later, he joked, hugging her tightly.
Are you sure it's safe at the dungeon? Cindy asked, gently pulling away from Bobby.
Of course it is, Bobby said, steering the car into the street. You're with me.
Cindy wanted his words to reassure her, but as she left her neighborhood, she grew more nervous. Bobby pulled the car into a crowded parking lot and looked over at Cindy.
I can't wait to show you off, he said with a grin.
Cindy took a deep breath, trying to remain calm. I heard this place can get kind of wild, she said, hoping he would change his mind about going in.
Relax, Cinderella. This is the Halloween jam. It's just a big party, that's all. Lots of people from Blueford and Lincoln will be there. No one will mess with you as long as I'm around. Let's go.
Bobby got out of the car quickly and opened the door for Cindy. Reluctantly, she stepped out into the cool night. In the parking lot, Cindy felt deep hip-hop bass pulsing through the air. As they neared the dungeon, Bobby spotted a familiar vehicle parked across the street.
That's Cooper Hyden's pickup. What's that fool doing in here? He asked.
I don't know, Cindy replied, remembering that Cooper was supposed to be at Jamie's party. Just then, Cindy heard a voice calling her name. Cindy, come here! Cindy turned to see Jamie and Darcy standing amidst the crowd walking towards the club. Cooper Hyden and a heavyset girl stood behind the two sisters.
Jamie, what are you doing here? Cindy asked. I thought you were having a party.
Cindy, we're here for you.
Don't go in there. Just come with us, Jamie said.
Girl, what is your problem? Bobby growled. Are you jealous of me and Cinderella?
I'm not jealous, Bobby. I just don't want my friend getting into trouble, Jamie yelled back.
Come on, girl, Cooper added. Jamie's right. This place is bad news. Step off, Coop, Bobby said. This ain't got nothing to do with you.
Cindy, just come with us, Jamie insisted.
Cindy hesitated. She was embarrassed at the scene she was causing and unsure what to do. Jamie was serious. The determined look on her face told Cindy that she really meant what she said. Jamie cared so much that she even brought her sister and friends to help her. But then there was Bobby.
Come on, Cindy, he said, tugging at her arm. We don't need to listen to this.
Reluctantly, Cindy stepped forward, looking back at the group of people who came for her. Part of her wanted to walk away from Bobby, but another part was willing to follow him almost anywhere.
Sorry, guys, she said, turning towards the dark wooden doors.
Inside the dungeon, they entered a strange world of flashing strobe lights, swirling smoke clouds, and throbbing music. Amidst the dense crowd, Cindy saw dozens of people dressed as goblins, movie villains, celebrities, and monsters. She felt a mixture of awe
and terror in the dark and unfamiliar room. She was suddenly aware of strangers looking at her body, and she felt overly exposed in her scant genie costume.
Bobby, how long are we staying here? Cindy asked, crossing her arms on her chest.
Relax, Cinderella, he replied. The party's just getting started.